Amen. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. We're going to get started with song number 245. Song number 245 is You Find Your Seats. And if you are able to, let's all stand up together for our first song. The old account was settled long ago. Song number 245. Let's all stand together for our first song. Seat on that first verse. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top with many things below. I went unto the keeper and said, oh, long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, the old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, when in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled, I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin. For thus he hath provided for you to enter in. And if you used to live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. For the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Wonderful singing. Let's start off our service with a word of prayer. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, your God, for just allowing us to be here this morning, Lord God. I pray that you would please just bless every aspect of our service, Lord God. I pray that you would please just bless the singing unto you. And Lord, I pray that you please just bless people that couldn't make it to church today, Lord God. I know some people are sick. I pray that you would please just heal their bodies. And Lord, most importantly, I pray that you would also just be with our pastor. Please fill him with your Holy Spirit. Guide him through the scriptures, Lord God. Bring to remembrance of the things that he has studied, Lord God, as well. I pray now that you please just bless our service now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Song number 410, Faith is a Victory. Song number 410, there in your hymnals, is our second song. We will sing it on that first verse. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. Sing it on that verse. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night will fill the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road, the stains above, of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's width, with every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each end, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our feet, and echo with a shout. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, bright raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts full of aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
All right, great singing. Thank you for being here this morning. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 363. If you want to get that ready in your songbooks, 363, Wonderful Words of Life. If you did not get a bulletin, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of the ushers can get one for you. Some important information on there. Of course, our Sunday morning service is at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then we have our Thursday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We are currently studying the book of Matthew, so I hope to see you on Thursday evening. And then you see the sowing times and teams and the list of expecting mothers. Congratulations to Brother Leon and Miss Lorena on the birth of their baby girl, Joy Lucine Yakuvian. She is 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and 21 inches. And so if you would like to be a blessing and send them a meal or send them a gift card, please make sure you contact my wife, and she's organizing that. And so if you can just shoot her a text, she can give you information about that. So congratulations to them. And then you see the important reminders there at the bottom. Oh, and by the way, we have someone else expecting. I almost forgot. Brother Eric, can you do a little... we'll just say it. Brother Jose and Ms. Janelle, all right, man? Just kidding. Congratulations. Number 6, right? Boy or girl? I'm not going to ask. We'll see. All right. Congratulations to you, too. And then some of the upcoming church events here. We have, of course, Miss Tanya Lieb's baby shower on Sunday, May 28th. That's next week, next Sunday. And that'll be after the service. We have the Monday soul winning on the 29th, meeting at the building at 11:30. If you have any questions, see Brother Ulysses. The end of school picnic is on Tuesday, May 30th at 12:30. And that will be at Eucalyptus Park. If you have any questions about that, you can see Brother Ulysses. And then the Ladies' Prayer Breakfast on Saturday, June 3rd. And Ms. Chanel is the one who heads that up. So you can talk to her about information about that. And then you see the regular reminders there at the bottom. Please make sure you silence your phones during the preaching so as to not be a distraction during the service. And that is it. Let's go ahead and sing our next song, 363 Wonderful Words of Life.
Amen. Song number 363, Wonderful Words of Life. Song number 363, seen on that first verse.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life.
sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life, oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. Wonderful singing at this time. Our ushers will be receiving the offering. And please turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 37.
Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37, the Bible reads, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. But the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, and smoke they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy, and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth. His seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Let's pray, dear Lord God. Just thank you for this opportunity to assemble here in your house. Just ask that you would meet with us here now this morning. And please bless Pastor Mahir with the Holy Spirit as he preaches your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, we're in Psalm 37 this morning. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And the title of my sermon this morning is 10 Reasons the Wicked Prosper. 10 Reasons the Wicked Prosper. Why is it that evil people succeed in this world? I mean, if you've been alive for any length of time, you obviously see that there's some pretty wicked people in this world, some people who are very evil, have nefarious intentions, and they seem to be prospering, succeeding, going forward in their life. And if you're a Christian, you're obviously frustrated with these things. You know, if you're anything like me, I think to myself, how is it that these people are permitted to continue to go forward, continue to live, continue to succeed and prosper in this world, even though they're really wicked? And we see here in Psalm 37 that David obviously felt the same way and expressed those same thoughts here in this particular psalm. And in fact, in verse number 1, he starts off by saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. What does it mean to fret? It means you're overly anxious, you're kind of worrying about it, you're kind of just frustrated about it. And David here is saying, don't fret, don't worry about the evildoers of this world. He goes on to say in verse number 7, the latter end, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. It says, because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. And then he says in verse number 34, Verse number 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen, verse 35, the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. He's obviously expressing the fact that in his personal life, in his experience, he's seen a lot of wicked people just kind of go forward without any hindrances, just kind of succeed in this world. And he's essentially telling the reader here, we need to make sure we don't fret about these things. Don't be overly anxious about them. Don't worry about your wicked boss who's constantly prospering, your neighbor who's not saved, who's not a Christian, but yet seems to be succeeding in this world. That one individual who just blasphemes the Lord, is not a Christian, just seems to kind of mock the things of God, yet seems to be succeeding. Or how about just the wicked rulers of this world, right? Who are just constantly succeeding. They don't seem to be hindered. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, the Bible says. Now, we're going to come back to Psalm 37, but go with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. This morning, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why the wicked prosper. And I want to help us today as Christians, as a church, to have the right mindset regarding the evil people of this world. Okay, we obviously don't want to justify who they are or make excuses. We're going to look at 10 biblical reasons why they succeed, why they're doing well, and what does the Bible have to say about it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 14. It says here in verse number 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Now, what does that mean? He's saying, you know, I've seen a lot of good people, righteous people, well-meaning people suffer the consequences that the wicked would suffer, right? You see a really righteous person, maybe someone who loves the Lord, is going to church, but then their life is cut short or they're hindered in some way. And it's just like, wow, isn't that recompense designated for the wicked? Why is it that the righteous is suffering in that manner, right? And then he says, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. So you see, you hear the frustration in the voice of Solomon here, who's the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. He's like, I don't get it. You know, there's people in this world who are righteous, good, well-meaning people. They love the Lord. They're good individuals. They're just men. But then they kind of suffer the consequences of the wicked. And then you have really wicked people who are just evil. They're wicked. And yet they seem to be enjoying the recompenses of the righteous. And he says, this is vanity. This is so frustrating. This is the way the world works. Why is that? Now, when I give you these 10 reasons, I'm actually talking about two categories of people. Okay. When I say the wicked, obviously I could be referring to either wicked people as in just plainly unsaved individuals who are still redeemable, but yet they live wicked lives. They live sinful lifestyles. They're not doing things that are pleasing unto the Lord because they're not even saved, but they're still redeemable. Or I'm referring to people who are not redeemable, right? What the Bible would refer to as reprobates. And so I want to talk about those categories, but I'm going to hit on the first category, which is just simply the person who is redeemable, but is just living a wicked lifestyle. This is referring to your neighbor. You know, that neighbor who's a drunkard, maybe he's like committing adultery. He's just kind of a cheat. He's a liar. Yet he seems to be succeeding. God, why are you allowing this person to prosper in his way, yet you are, you know, a God-fearing person, a church-going individual. You work hard, you love your family, but you don't seem to be making steps forward like this person is. Why is that? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And again, you know, we need to make sure we have the right attitude towards unsaved people, towards the reprobates, towards the wicked of this world. We need to make sure we align our thinking with what the Bible says, okay? So reason number one, why the wicked prosper, let me say this, is that they are reaping the benefits of being God's creation. The reason the wicked are allowed to prosper, the unsaved who are living a sinful lifestyle, is simply because they're simply reaping the benefits of being a human being, okay? So what do you mean by that? Well, you know, there's a default setting that God has for just all human beings, okay? There's this default setting that every human, that God has in this world for all human beings, whether they're Christian, whether they're unsaved, it doesn't matter who they are, they will reap certain benefits that other parts of creation do not. I mean, you know, even if you're the most wicked person in this world, you still have it better than the dog. You have it better than the animal. You have it better than some, you know, gazelle in Africa who's being constantly hunted by lions. I mean, we are the greatest of all of God's creation. Human beings are the greatest of all God's creation. And the reality is this, is that we, before salvation, have inherited this default setting of just being blessed because we're human beings, okay? We're born into this world with certain blessings, and it's not necessarily because God's favoring that wicked person. It's not because he just loves that individual more than God's people, or he loves that reprobate more than God's people. It's just that they're human, so they obviously inherit blessings that come with being a human being, okay? Certain blessings that come with being God's greatest creation. And, you know, I think of it this way. You think of the fact that, or I'll give you this example. When I edit certain videos, I use a program called Premiere Pro that comes from an Adobe suite. And this is where I edit all the videos, all the shorts, documentaries, whatever it is that we make, I do it on that. But when you first open the program, if you first download it and you open it, it comes with a certain interface that's just the default interface, okay? In other words, the tools are in a specific area. All of the color grading is in a certain area. But you have the choice to essentially click on a specific button and change that interface if you want, right? Change it around, put screens in different places. Well, that's basically the way God's blessing us, okay? When we first are downloaded into this world, so to speak, I'm not saying we're in the Matrix or anything like that, right? Don't take this illustration too far, okay? You know, we're downloaded, we're born into this world, we essentially inherit this interface with just the default settings already there. And I'm sure, you know, the Adobe company has your best interest in mind in a sense of this is the most effective way to edit certain videos having this particular interface, right? But, you know, there's certain people that are not happy with that. And in light of that, they begin to switch things around to kind of, you know, fit their agenda, you know, make a God in their own image, right? They turn the truth of God into a lie. And then at that point, they leave the default settings and they become a reprobate or whatever it may be, okay? But then there's individuals who actually look at that default setting and say, you know, I'm going to edit according to this. This is good in my sight. I like it. And so what I'm saying is, you know, this world, when you see wicked people prosper and they succeed and they seem to be doing well, it's not because God particularly loves that individual more than you, not because he's favoring them more than you. It's just because they're a human being and they get to enjoy certain things that all human beings do. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 1. It says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, to him that sacrificeth not, as it is good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event even unto all," the Bible says. What is it saying? You know, certain things just happens to everyone. For example, there's a default setting called death. And just because a righteous person dies doesn't mean God doesn't like that individual. It's just part of the default setting of being a human being, right? There's default settings of sicknesses. There's a default setting of just being a sinner, you know, struggling with sin, having that temptation, whatever it may be. And so the evil happens to everyone, but you know what? The good happens to everyone as well. Okay, that's why it says in verse 2, all things come alike to all. And then in verse 3, it tells us that there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. Look at Matthew chapter 5, if you would, Matthew chapter number 5. So reason number 1, why is it that the wicked prosper? Well, don't confuse prospering with just the default setting. Just because wicked people are allowed to prolong their days and they live long days and maybe they succeed at their jobs, or, you know, they have a family and they seem to be happy and all these things, don't mistake that for God favoring them more than you. It's simply them enjoying that default setting of being God's creation. They're reaping the benefits of just being a human being. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." What is he saying? You know, just being a human being, you get to enjoy the sun. You get to enjoy, the wicked person, people of this world, get to enjoy the vitamin D as much as you do, right? They get to enjoy the beautiful day in Southern California, the 70 degrees, the beautiful weather, the beautiful sun. They get to enjoy the beach here in Southern California. I mean, we don't know about those other people in other parts of the country, okay? But, oh, hi, Arizonans. How are you doing? I'm just kidding. You know, we get to enjoy all those things, but you know what? The wicked do too. And it's not like, why isn't God just designated all these great things for God's people? Well, it's because we're all human beings, and in general, God has that default setting for us to enjoy everything, whether you're saved or unsaved. Go to Acts chapter 17, if you would. Acts chapter 17. So reason number 1 is they're simply enjoying or benefiting, reaping the benefits of being God's creation. They get to be a part of that default setting. So don't fret yourself because of evildoers just because they get to enjoy the things that a human being does. You know, they get to eat certain foods and enjoy certain luxuries of this world. It's not because God's blessing is on them. It's simply because of the fact that they are human beings. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. So he says here that God essentially determined where you're going to be born, what family you're going to be a part of, what part of the country or the world you're going to be in, the looks that you're going to have. You know, this is why the thing created cannot say to him that created it, why hast thou made me thus? Don't complain about your features. Don't complain about the color of your skin, how light you are, how dark you are, how tall you are, how short you are. This is the way God made you. Amen. Yeah. He created you with these bounds. And so, and it says in verse 27, why? That they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So essentially what God is saying here is that God has situated every human being. Doesn't matter if you're in the jungles of the Amazon. Doesn't matter if you're in Africa. Doesn't matter if you're in the most pagan part of the world. He still set you in your bounds. And those boundaries, that habitation, is still conducive to you seeking after the Lord. Yeah. If you're born in America, you have the habitation and the boundary of God's blessing on this country enough for you to go and seek after the truth, right? There's plenty of churches. The Bible's everywhere. There's preaching everywhere. You say, what about the people who don't live in a Christian nation, though? You know? What if they live in a communist country or some Southeast Asian country where, you know, idolatry is rampant? Well, you know, that's a good reason to seek after the God of the Bible. Yeah. It's like, this place is so wicked. I have it so bad here. There's so many idols. I need God to deliver me from all this. And make no mistake about it. Just because no one has heard the name of Jesus, which I don't necessarily believe that, in different parts of the world, everyone has within them the innate belief that God exists. Okay, it's called the light that God gives to them. Okay, and so he says there that he does that in order for them to seek the Lord. So these default settings that God places us in are built there for the intention of us seeking after the Lord thereafter in light of those things. Now go back to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. So reason number one, why does God prosper the wicked? The number one reason is because of the default settings. It's not because he specifically wants to bless that individual or is favoring their wicked deeds or their wicked devices or is for their intentions or their motives. It's just because they're a human being, okay? Number two, and here's a really deep reason why the wicked prosper. Very deep, okay? People simply get lucky. That's basically what it is. Why do the wicked prosper? Well, I'll be honest with you. It's just by chance sometimes. Sometimes wicked people succeed in this world only because they just got lucky. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean luck? I don't believe in luck, my friends. Well, you know what? The Bible teaches chance. And I hate to break the news to you, but that means they just got lucky is what it is. By chance. It's not because they're a great person. It's not because they're righteous. It's not because they're just. It's just because they got lucky. Look at Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says here in Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Wait, what? I thought the people who win the race are people who are fast. Swift means fast. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Listen to this. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, along with that default setting that we talked about in the first place, there's certain rules that this world operates under, right? Certain biblical principles that this world operates under. In other words, if you want to win the race, you got to be fast. If you want to make money, if you want to succeed, you got to work hard. Okay? If you want to make bread, you got to be a little wise. If you want riches, you have to be a man of understanding. If you want your boss to favor you, you should be a man of skill, right? This is in general true, especially according to the Bible. However, if you do all these things and your wicked coworker succeeds and gets the promotion, it's not because you lacked wisdom. It's not because you lack understanding. And it's not because you don't have skill. It's just that time and chance happened to them all. Like, why is this person allowed to succeed and prosper? He might have just gotten lucky. why does this person have so much money? He might have just inherited it from a family member, something he just got lucky, just by chance. And that's an important point because of the fact that, you know, we obviously don't want to negate biblical principles. You need to work. And by the way, don't depend on chance either. So don't take this verse and say, hey, you know, maybe time and chance shall happen unto me, and therefore I can be lazy and learn no skill and get no understanding and not be wise and not be swift. No, in general, the default setting of those biblical principles is that you should learn those things and adopt those skills and those virtues. However, if success doesn't come to you immediately because of those things, and it comes to a person who is a wicked individual, lives a wicked lifestyle, don't just throw out the baby with the bathwater and say, well, I guess the Bible's not true. You know, people have a tendency to do that. They institute certain biblical principles in their life, and then things do not turn out the way they thought it should. And they're like, oh, I guess it's not true then. But to say it's not true is to say that the Bible's not true. And we know that the Bible is true because it's God's word. And just because it didn't immediately happen to you doesn't mean it's not true. And folks, I know what I'm talking about. Even Bible-believing Christians, people who claim to believe the word of God, people who claim to have faith in God's word, once they apply it, if they don't get immediate success, it's just like, oh, I don't believe this then. It didn't work because it didn't work for me. Well, first of all, we should do right in spite of the fact if it works or not. Yeah. Let me just say that, right? It's right to do right regardless if it works or not. It's right to exercise righteousness regardless of how it turns out for you. It's right to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord regardless of the outcome. Why? Because it's always right to do right in the eyes of God. That's why. Now, thankfully, you know, you will have a favorable outcome. But you know what? God doesn't work on your timetable, though. You know, God's not a drive-through. He's not a Starbucks employee. He's not a restaurant where you just like, okay, I ordered my meal a little bit ago or whatever. Hey, you didn't make this drink exactly how I wanted it. You know, sorry, it doesn't work that way. There's a couple orders on the menu, but God expects you to get all of them, and he'll get it to you when he gets it to you. Now, here's a great example of how this works. In Belize, the restaurants in Belize are just way different than here. Okay? Here, if the food's not ready by like 5 minutes, I'm like hangry. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just like, what's, are they killing the cow back there? Well, in Belize, I think they are. They are actually killing the cow. Because I'm not exaggerating here. What, like over an hour? Maybe like an hour and a half? Maybe like an hour and 45 minutes? Was it more than that? Hike? It was about an hour and 45. It was like an hour and 45 minutes before it came out. So we like, we order the food, and then you see like employees come out, and then they're like turning on the lights, and you know, they're just getting all the food ready. And it's just like, man, this is taking forever. But you know, they operate differently over there, okay? And the food is obviously fresher, so it's better or whatever. But just microwave it for me. I'm just, okay, I'll take them. I'm hungry now, okay? But you know what? That's the way God operates. It's like you're going to get fed, you're going to get the fulfillment, but, you know, you got to go according to the cook's timing, though. You can't rush the cook, okay? Don't rush the cook. Don't rush him because of the fact that he's going to give it to you when he gives it to you. You understand? And you're like, well, I need patience. Well, don't ask for patience because he'll make you wait longer. Because waiting longer will teach you patience. But the point that I'm trying to make here is the fact that just because something doesn't work out for you because you've obeyed God doesn't mean it doesn't work. You know, just because, you know, your husband didn't turn out the way you would want him to when you submit to him doesn't mean submitting doesn't work or that it's not right to do. It's still right to do. Just because loving your wife as Christ also loved the church doesn't work immediately because your wife, you know, whatever, doesn't respect you or whatever, doesn't mean you shouldn't do it because it's still right to do, and it will yield the results later on, my friends. Like, oh man, but I know this couple and they seem to be really happy and they're not Christians and they're not instituting these principles here. And, you know, what's up with that? Well, you know, what are you saying? You saying the Bible's not true? And look, You can look at a couple and they look like they got everything together, but you don't know what happens behind closed doors. You don't know what kind of blows they're throwing and elbows and pans are flying all over. You don't know. But folks, even if that were true, that they were succeeding and they have a happy marriage, because you see it on Instagram or something, you see how happy they are with all their selfies or something, it doesn't matter. Because we're still Christians, and the Bible says that this system works. But if it doesn't work, and that couple does succeed, that employee does succeed in spite of the fact that they have no skill, understanding, or wisdom, they just got it by chance. They just got it by time and chance. Don't get mad. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't grow anxious. Have the maturity to assess that situation and say, that guy just got lucky. Because I'm way more qualified than him. Or, you know, I'm serving God here. I know that this is what I deserve. But you know what? He does it, but it's okay because time and chance happens to them all. It says in verse number 12, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know that their car breaks down too? You know that they also have health issues as well? You know that people steal from them too? You know they get their stuff broken into as well, just as well as you do. Why? Because it happens to everyone. Okay? And, you know, if you're living a godly life, you serve the Lord, but, you know, you're having these financial woes, and not because you're being disobedient or rebellious towards the Lord, maybe it's just time and chance happening to them all. It's like, why am I having these health issues? Oh, because you live in a sin-ridden world that corrupts and screws everything up, including your body, right? It's like, why did this evil day come upon me? Well, because along with the fact that you get the blessings of being a human being, there's also curses that come upon a human being for being a human being, right? Sicknesses, there's death, there's sorrow, there's anguish, there's grief that comes upon people. Time and chance happeneth to them all. And, you know, I think a great example of this would be my father-in-law, okay? My father-in-law was a pastor, a great servant of the Lord, did great works for God, saw a lot of people saved, started churches, and pastored a great church, preached hard. I mean, was and is a great man of God. Raised a godly family and eight wonderful children. One of them is the best one out of the eight, though, you know, obviously. Hope she's watching somewhere around here. You know, he just did everything right. And then all of a sudden, he gets this AVM where the nerves in his brain were essentially tied in a knot. That's how he was born. And then it ruptured when in his 50s, and he nearly dies, and now he can no longer pastor. He can barely even function. He can't walk. He interacts with his family, but, you know, he's not necessarily the same person that he was, you know, back in 2013 when that happened to him. And it's not because he did anything wrong. It's not because he abuses drugs. He wasn't doing Muay Thai kickboxing, got a hit to the head, and then he got an aneurysm or something. He was literally born with it. He was born with the AVM, and it's not because he's wicked. It's not because he was evil, because he did everything right. He did everything right. I mean, he sent missionaries all across the world, had a great vision for the next generation. I mean, he trained me. He trained many others. And he did everything right, and this happened to him. And it's just like, why? Well, I'll tell you why, because time and chance happened to them all, that's why. It's not because he's a wicked person. And you think about, why couldn't that happen to some, you know, prosperity gospel preacher? Why can't that happen to some repent of your sins preacher, some non-denom, lame preacher who is not even getting people saved? He's leading people astray. You know, he's tolerating all kinds of sin. He's preaching false doctrine. He's just a wicked person. How come the AVM couldn't be on him rather than on Pastor Esposito? I'll tell you why, because time and chance happened to them all. And it's not because God is favoring that wicked person. It's just that guy just got lucky. And unfortunately, my father-in-law was not lucky at the time. That's what he was born with. What I'm trying to get across here, go to Luke 13, is the fact that the reason, you know, good things happen to bad people is because of the fact that there's a default setting where everyone's blessed. They receive the rain, They receive the sun. They're allowed to breathe and enjoy the luxuries of this world, not because God favors them specifically, but just because they're humans, but also because they just get lucky sometimes. That's just it. Man, why does this person get all those great genetics? You know, all these great physical features and strength, and why them? I don't know. Honestly, they just got lucky because they can't do anything about that. You know what I mean? They just have great genetics. Look at Luke 13, verse number 1. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's like, you would look at these group of people who died in such a horrible way and say, oh man, maybe these people were the worst types of sinners. It's like, no. In fact, you're lucky it didn't happen to you, because it can happen to anybody. It doesn't mean that there are sinners above the rest. It doesn't mean they're super wicked. It just, time and chance happens to them all. That's how life is, okay? What's another reason why the wicked prosper? Go to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. Let me just cover this point briefly. So reason number one is because of the default settings. They're reaping the benefits of just being God's creation. Number two is that they got lucky. Number three is that they obey biblical principles, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Some people just succeed in this world because they read a book by some secular dude who read these principles from the Bible, or they got these principles from another person who knew the Bible. And maybe they're not wicked. Maybe they're not necessarily doing anything nefarious or dishonest. They're unsaved and they're succeeding without Christ per se, but it's only because they're executing biblical principles. That's what it is. Because the world runs on biblical principles. Biblical principles that run this world. You know, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So some people reap the benefits of being a hard worker because the Bible says that if you work hard, God will bless you for it. He will allow your hand to prosper in that. Well, that's essentially a principle that applies to everyone, not just Christians. Okay? So they succeed because they obey biblical principles, whether knowingly or unknowingly. Reason number four, that's reason number three. Reason number four why the wicked prosper, and here's a big one, okay? The wicked prosper because they inherit the fallout of God blessing the righteous. So don't give them too much credit. Man, they're doing so well. It's probably because, first of all, they live in America. Yeah. And America, you know, to a certain extent, is blessed by God because there's Christians here. Yep. There's churches here. So they're only inheriting the fallout of God's blessing on us. God's blessing on the righteous. God's blessing on churches. You know, churches and Christians are the most hated in America, but people are dumb. Yeah. They need to realize the reason God hasn't destroyed America is because of churches. It's because of Christians. We're withholding the judgment of God back from this country, so stop persecuting us. It's like, we're the reason you're even enjoying the luxuries that you get to enjoy in America. Amen. It's not because of your president, for sure not because of your president. It's not because of your mayor, your governor, whatever magistrates you want to accredit for God's blessing. It's because of Christians. Because God doesn't favor mayors. He doesn't favor governors. He doesn't favor presidents for sure. You know who he favors? God's people. And when he blesses God's people, the blessing abounds so abundantly that it just pours over. And you know what? People get to glean from the corners of the field of those blessings. The poor of this world, the unsaved of this world, who are completely in debt to God because of their sin, get to glean the corners of the field of God's blessing, us. You see, God blessed us with the field. We have the blessing of a vineyard. We have the blessing of a field. We have the blessing of all these fruits. But you know what? Every once in a while, when you're gleaning all the fruits and you're collecting all those resources, a little bit of those blessings just fall in the corners of the field. And so the poor of this world, referring to the unsaved, they get to enjoy some of that stuff too. Now, let me give you an example of this, okay? Look at Genesis chapter 30, verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry. In other words, stay. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. So Laban's like, do me a favor. Just can you stay a little longer? Like for like a couple more seasons? Okay. Because, you know, Laban is kind of, he's doing this guy dirty a little bit. Okay. Because, you know, he's laboring for both of his daughters. You know, Laban's trying to give away his daughters and Rachel and Leah. And he ends up giving them to Jacob deceitfully, of course. And then Jacob's just like, you know, I've served you long enough. I need to get going. I need to start my own life, get my own house, start my own thing. And so I need to get going. And then Laban's like, well, can you just please like stay just a little longer? And he says, I've learned by experience that God is actually blessing me for your sake. It's not, he didn't say he's blessing Laban for Laban's sake or for Laban's labor or his godliness. It's like for Jacob's sake. So what does that mean? It means that Laban is experiencing the fallout of God blessing Jacob. Okay? And we see this with Joseph as well. Go to Genesis chapter 39. You see, Christianity, my friends, is the Midas touch of this world. That's basically what it is. Christianity, not Catholicism. Christianity, not Mormonism. Christianity, not Jehovah's Witnesses. Christianity, not Pentecostalism. Right. We're talking about Christianity. Amen. Biblical Christianity with the right salvation, the right doctrine. You know, our God is what we're talking about here. Buddhism has not blessed this country. Hinduism has not blessed this country. You want to look at the results of a country how blessed they are because of Hinduism? Go to India. All the starving people. As that delicious cow walks right in front of them, who they can easily slay and make a double quarter pounder or a double-double, 4x4, whatever it is, right? But no, because they believe, because Buddhism teaches them that that's their ancestors, they're unwilling to kill it. And so people starve. Oh, great job, Buddhism. Great job, Hinduism. You know, go to Southeast Asia. See how God's blessing those countries because of the religion. I mean, and it's not like they're not instituting and practicing the religion. They have idols on every corner. They pray to false gods every single day. And have they been blessed because of it? No. They have a corrupt government. They're starving. They're malnourished. I mean, just go there and you see what I'm talking about. Okay? But look at America. Like, oh, man, what are you, a nationalist? No, I'm a Christian is what I am. And I believe that Christianity has the Midas touch in this world, that whatever nation, you know, it touches, it actually improves that society increasingly, no matter what. You institute God's laws, you establish churches, you win souls to Christ, God blesses that nation. That's just the way it works. It turns to gold. Whatever nation Christianity touches turns to gold. Now, obviously, after a while, it becomes reprobate silver, right? Because then the individuals in that world begin to reject biblical principles, reject Jesus Christ. You know, like Israel, for example. At one time, it was like gold, right? And it would bless the nations around them, but then it rejected Jesus Christ and therefore became a reprobate nation. We can point to many nations who at one point were maybe a Christian nation because of the Midas touch, the Christian Midas touch, the Jesus touch. And then later on, generations thereafter, another generation arose that knew not the Lord, and then it became perverse, wicked, rejecting the God of the Bible, and now they are cursed. Look at Genesis 39, verse number 1. It says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So, obviously, Potiphar is an Egyptian. He's a pagan. He's not saved. But because Joseph is working for him, he gets to inherit the Midas touch. His house is being blessed. His resources are being blessed. Not because he's done anything righteous. Not because God is favoring him, but because God favors Joseph. And Potiphar gets to enjoy the fallout of that blessing. You know what? By the way, this is a principle that, you know, your business, wherever you work at, should succeed because of you. God should favor your job because of you. Your boss should favor you because you are a Christian. And from what it looks like, from what it sounds like, it's not very hard to succeed in the world today. Because there's so many lazy people out there who don't want to work. You know, they're too busy playing Call of Duty and doing other nonsensical things that they don't have the desire to work. So it's not very hard to actually get a job, succeed and work and get your boss's favor. How much more when God's favor is on you, he's blessing you, and then he begins to bless that job because of you. That's the way it works. It works at a job. It works even in a home, my friends. This is why if you're in a situation where you married someone who's not a believer, God says you can still possibly save your spouse because of you. You can sanctify your kids. Your kids are holy because of you. Doesn't mean they're saved yet. It means they have a better chance of getting saved because they have a believer in the home. It works in a home. It works at a job. It works in a country as well. Okay. The Bible says in Psalm 33, you don't have to turn there, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, happy is that people that in such that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so over and over again, go to Genesis chapter 26, if you would, Genesis chapter 26. Why do the wicked prosper? Oh, because they're piggybacking off of our blessing. That's what it is. They're essentially piggybacking off of the blessing that we get, okay? Why is this nation prospering more than any other nation? Because of Christianity. Because there's churches. Why is it that as wicked as this nation has gotten, as many babies has been aborted, as much as Sodom has just been promoted over and over, why isn't that God has not yet destroyed America? I'll tell you why. It's because of Christians. We're literally the ones who are holding back the judgment of God upon this nation. And people don't realize it, and they're never going to realize it until it's too late, right? There might be people who recognize that God is blessing this country because of Christianity, but others try to debunk it and say it's not that, it's for other reasons or whatever. But we know what the Bible says, and the Bible's true, that they're essentially experiencing the fallout. Look at Genesis 26, verse number 1. It says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, into Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed, listen to this, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How is a nation truly blessed when it has Christians evangelizing that nation? Because that seed obviously is Christ, and if we are Christ, if we belong to Christ, then guess what? We're part of that promise. And the reason nations are blessed, according to this verse, is because Christians are in that particular country, preaching the gospel, getting people saved, showing them the right way. Amen? Go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. We're giving reasons why God prospers the wicked. And I think that's one of the greatest reasons is because Christianity has a Midas touch, and that ripple effect that it has on this world, on individuals and countries, is felt. Okay. But here is probably the number one reason why God blesses the wicked. Or should I say why they are prospering in this world, should I say? Why is that? It's because of the fact that God wants them to be saved. And this is an attitude that we need to have and we need to recognize and not be confused about, is the fact that the reason why these people are prospering going forward, it might be because God wants them to be saved. Okay? Not might. It's, he does want him to be saved. Look at Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Now, the Bible teaches us that the goodness and forbearance of God should lead thee to repentance. Amen. So when the world is succeeding and prospering and enjoying financial success, the possessions of this world, God hopes that that person, in light of that, would seek after God. Now, obviously, that's not necessarily the case all the time, right? Sometimes that causes them to trust in themselves. They trust in their riches. But there are people in this world that get saved, and not because they're going through a difficult time, right? Not because they're going through a hard time. Not because they're experiencing trials and tribulations in their life. They just recognize, you know what, God's been good to me. And so in light of that, they're open to the gospel. Yeah. I've knocked on plenty of doors where people get saved, and it's not because they're at their wit's end. It's not because they had a death in the family. It's not because they're sick. It's not because they're suffering. It's because they feel like, well, God's been good to me. I believe in God. I want to know the truth. And in light of that, you know, I want to get saved, believe it or not. And that is God's intention. So God would want people in this world who are enjoying the riches of this world to give him credit for that. Yeah. And say, you know what? By the grace of God, I have not experienced suffering like others have. In fact, God has been good to me, and in light of that, they get saved. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen, okay? He wants them to be saved. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count for slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, obviously, you know, that works, but, you know, suffering works better, though, obviously. We know that, right? It's often suffering that gets people's attention. Okay, near-death experiences. I mean, that's what got my attention. You know, when I went out swimming the night before I got saved, we went into the ocean in the middle of the night, and, you know, we were like, let's see how far we can go. And it was like, you know, it's like, why? Because we want to see how far, like, what's gonna stop us? Oh, yeah, that's right, we get tired. So how are we going to make it back? And then I realized that, when I turn around, the lights were really dim, you know, in the distance. And I'm just like, and then I was really tired. And I'm like, I'm going to drown out here. I should have gone to church tonight because someone invited me to church. I was like, I'm going to die. And then, you know, I try to do what kids do, what we do as kids in the pool. You go all the way under and you push yourself off the floor, you know. But then I went under and I just kept doing this and just kept doing it. It was just like, there's no floor. And then the water just got colder and colder. And then I just went back up and I swallowed some water and I'm just like, and I call out to my friends and I couldn't hear them. They couldn't hear me. And finally, I just like swam back and I ended up somewhere that was not where we initially started, crawling on the beach. My lungs are just on fire. And I remember laying there and thinking like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I'm going to church tomorrow. Like I could have died. And now all these things run into my mind, like my mom would have gotten like a notice, like we need you to come identify this body or something, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I could have died. And that moved me to go and seek the living waters, amen? So then I went to church, and then that's where I got saved. And I remember thinking to myself, Lord, thank you for sparing my life so that I can get saved. You know, I was very grateful, but it took that experience to kind of move me to go seek the truth. And, you know, sometimes that's why it's easy to witness the gangbangers. Yeah. When we go to, like, South Central and Compton, those are some really receptive people. Now, there might be people in here who don't agree with that or something. You know, you're like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, I've run into some pretty close gangbangers or whatever. Okay, whatever. But the gangbangers that I run into, though, you know, they pretty receptive. Amen. I've run into guys who are, like, Bloods and Crips, and they're all flamed out. They got the colors on, and man, they readily receive the gospel. You know why? Because they're always near-death experience. They probably just had a drive-by that day or something. Who knows? And so they get saved. Now, obviously, again, there's people who even in light of those near-death experiences still don't get saved, right? They harden their hearts, and, you know, or there's individuals who are around those near-death experiences, and then they don't die, and then they think that that, like, qualifies them to have God's favor or something like that. You know, I knocked on doors, it was just like, are you 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? They're like, oh, yeah, I know God. I almost died, and God saved me from, and that's just like, he saved you so that you can hear what I'm telling you right now. But they view that as like their ticket to heaven or something. It's like, you're going to have a rude awakening when you actually die and you lift up your eyes in hell. You know, the evil of this world that comes upon an individual, it's all meant to kind of push you towards the truth. And even as a Christian, if you have evil coming upon you, it's to kind of get your attention and to help you to get right with God. And if you are right with God and you have evil coming upon you, it's just to make you more godly. Okay? And so that's one of the reasons. Go back to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Chapter number 8. So now that we got just the regular unsaved people out of the way, it's pretty clear, right? That's why God blesses them. So don't envy the unsaved, wicked people of this world who are not necessarily reprobates. They're just regular sinners. Don't envy them. Don't fret yourself because they're succeeding. There's a reason why they're succeeding, okay? And make sure you bring these principles into mind when you see it happen so that you don't feel defrauded by God or something. It's just like, oh, God, how come you're not blessing me? And they're getting blessed, and they're enjoying all these things, and they get to do X, Y, and Z. Why not me? Well, just go over these principles here, and you'll see why, okay? But then there's that second group of people. And these are what's known as the reprobates, people who are beyond the hope of salvation. Because there are people in this world that can't be saved because they don't want to be saved. And here's what's funny. It's just like, oh, how can you say they can't be? Everyone can be saved. Well, what about the people who don't want to be saved? Can they be saved? Well, no. Okay, then. That's who we're talking about. We're talking about people who don't want to be saved. We're not just putting the label reprobate on just every Tom, Dick, and Harry of this world. We're talking about people who literally don't want salvation at all. I mean, just it's what the Bible refers to as haters of God. Like, there's not people like that in this world. I mean, I had literally someone comment on one of my videos or something and said, I am a proud hater of God. So they're like, you know, capitalized G, punctuation, and they're all send. You know, they're just, that's what they do. So don't tell me they don't exist, because they do. And you know what? These people also succeed. And they also prosper. I know by personal experience, because we have enemies of our church who hate our church. They hate my ever-loving guts. They wish the worst upon me. They wish the worst upon our church. They rejoice over the fact that our church was attacked. They rejoice over the violence that has been placed upon our church. They rejoice over those things. They hate us. These are the reprobates of this world. So we live in a real world, folks. This is not a movie. Okay, this is a real world. So get your head out of the sand and start realizing that these people actually exist. And you know what? The Bible actually says that they exist. Now, why do they succeed? Well, number one is simply because we have a corrupt justice system. So it's not because, you know, God's blessing them, obviously. It's because literally we just have a corrupt justice system. This is why pedophiles go in jail and they come right out. It's like a revolving door for pedophiles. Okay. Why are pedophiles just allowed to live in this world and continue to molest and violate the innocent? It's because we have a corrupt justice system. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse number 9. It says, all this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun, that there is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who have come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, because wicked people are not punished immediately, therefore it emboldens them to continue to do evil because they're not suffering the consequences of their actions. He says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So don't fret because of our corrupt justice system. It's frustrating for sure when the government just favors wicked people, wicked individuals, and reprobates and those who hate the Lord. It's frustrating when judges favor the wicked over the righteous. That's a little frustrating. That can get you a little anxious. That can get you a little stressed sometimes. But the Bible says here, don't worry. It shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And you know what? If that person prolongs his days and continues to go forward and succeeds and oppresses the righteous, it's not going to last forever. Okay? And so we have to realize that the reason evil people, because that's a question that I've asked myself, like, why, God? Why? Why do you allow these people to just continue to go forward? Now, let me say this, is that not everyone is allowed to continue to go forward. Right. And I can share other stories of you, of people who, you know, were destroyed in a horrific way. Okay? But you know what? That's not every single story, though. And there are instances where the enemies of God do have victory over God's people. They do have victory over them. And it's just like, wow, well, it's because, not because God's not powerful enough. It's not because God's not favoring us. It's not because we don't have God's blessing. It's because we have a corrupt justice system. And every human being in this world is an autonomous person who can make their own decisions. And you know what? Judges can make a decision based upon their wicked intent. They can favor their wicked if they want, because it's their decision. But here's another reason why the reprobates of this world are allowed to prosper. They're simply a tool. That's why. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse number 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil, the Bible says. So according to the Bible, wicked people exist in this world, reprobates exist in this world, deceiving and being deceived because of the fact that God allows them to, in order to be used as a tool to recruit people who hate the Lord too. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, but it's true. Because there's certain people in this world who don't want the truth. Not only do they not want the truth, they mock the truth. But you know, they need a church too. They need somewhere to congregate too. Believe it or not. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses exist. That's why the Mormons exist. That's why these false religions exist. It exists for people who don't want the actual truth. And look, isn't it interesting that when a really famous person claims to have found God, they become like a Jehovah's Witness? I mean, let me give you an example. Prince. Prince himself blouses himself. Prince, Mr. Dove's Cry himself, Mr. Weeping and Wailing and Gnashing his Teeth himself. You know, this guy, when he was seeking after God, because, you know, he was exposing all of the nefarious agenda of Hollywood and the Illuminati and all this stuff. But, you know, it's just like, oh, man, Prince is looking for the truth. They killed him because he was looking for the truth. No, no, no. He became a Jehovah's Witness. Like an open Jehovah's Witness. Like when they had a Jehovah's Witness conference, they were like boasting of the fact that he was like up there sitting just among everyone else being a Jehovah's Witness. And so, you know, God's not going to allow him to find Christianity. Why? Because he lived most of his life mocking Christianity, practicing wickedness, rejecting the truth, mocking Jesus Christ. And so, you know what God does? And believe it. And look, people don't like this, but it's fact, and God does this. He's like, okay, I'll give you this instead and make you think that you found the truth. God is vengeful, my friends. Yes, God is loving, he's caring, he's merciful, he's gracious, but he's also vengeful. Did you know the Bible says that he will mock the wicked? That he will laugh at their calamity? Why would God do that? Because these people are constantly laughing and mocking God, and they think they can do it without repercussions. It doesn't work that way. So you know what? Someone needs to deceive Prince. And by the way, Michael Jackson was also a Jehovah's Witness. Isn't that interesting? Both of those guys were Jehovah's Witnesses. And he was a Jehovah's Witness for like a long time. He was open about it too. But isn't it interesting that, you know, these guys become Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, there needs to be an institution that can maintain that deception for people who hate the truth. And that's why those institutions are allowed to exist. That's why Mormonism is allowed to exist. That's why Buddhism and Hinduism are allowed to exist. Because believe it or not, there's people in this world who actually hate the truth. And so they need to continue to be deceived according to the Bible. God allows that to. Now, obviously, there's people in this world. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's people in this world who are lost, sincere people who are lost in those religions who can still be saved. Yep. Buddhists who can still be saved. Hindus that can still be saved. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're very hard to win for sure. You know, there's well-meaning people that can still be saved from those religions. We're talking about the people who just hate the truth, and that's why they're a part of that religion. Okay. And so the reprobates are allowed to continue because they're simply a tool. He's made the wicked even for the day of evil. What's another reason? Let me just breeze through these last couple of reasons here. Go with me, if you would, to go back to Psalm. Actually, go to Psalm 73, and then we're going to go to Psalm 37. And one of the reasons the reprobates of this world are allowed to exist is because it gives us something to hope for. Because when you read the Bible and you hear preaching, you're just like, I just want justice, Pastor. I want justice. I want God to carry out his execution, his righteousness. But did you know you might not live long enough to see it? That's a hard truth. That's a hard pill even for me to swallow. Because I want justice too. There's wrongs that have been done to us in our church. And, you know, I want justice. People want justice. But you know what? I might die and just never see justice this side of eternity. So you're like, well, what are you going to do? Well, I just know that one day it will come upon them. I have faith. I have that hope set before me, knowing that one day it will come. So it increases my faith. It allows me to just put it in the hands of God and say, you know what? Maybe America can't be saved because it's so corrupt. And there's so many wicked people here. And they're not being punished. And I might die in this state where I never see justice executed, but I know one day it will come upon them. And I have faith because God said that he would do it. Now, here's another reason. Reason number nine, why the wicked are allowed to prosper is because God is allowing them to treasure up wrath, which kind of goes with the other point of the fact that they're a tool. You know, the Bible says that people treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. Because you wonder to yourself, why are serial killers just allowed to just live? People who molest children, maybe they're never caught. You know, just really wicked people who violate the innocent. What's up with that? How come God, why does God allow evil in this world? You know, a lot of people ask that, right? Well, people have to understand, when you look at it from the biblical perspective, there's certain people, the longer they live, if they're evil, the more points they're racking up on the day of judgment. Yep. So the more severe the punishment will be when it's instituted. Yep. So it's just like, he's not going to take them out of the picture yet. He's going to allow them to be as wicked as they are because he has all of eternity to punish that person for their violation of the innocent. So they're treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Okay. And here's the last point here. Of why the wicked prosper. Let me say this. It's because their success is actually a facade. It's not even real. So just remember that. All those other points are true, but at the end of the day, it's fake. Yeah. They're not really succeeding. And sometimes we as Christians can get caught up in this social media world where we only determine if a person succeeds based upon their post. Yeah. Right? Based upon their picture. Based upon that one lift, based upon that one place they went to, it's just like, wow. But you know, it's a facade. It's fake. It's not real. So before you go and envy and fret at the wicked because of their so-called success, just remember, it's just perceived successful in your eyes. But it's not really successful. Before you go and envy the Hollywood elite, you know, when they're at the, what are they called? The Meta Gala or what? The Gala or whatever, that wicked thing where they all get together. Wow, they're so rich and famous and they're having so much fun. Let me say this, is that those people are miserable. They're miserable. Now, they're not going to display their misery, although some of them do. They're not going to tell you how miserable they are. So, look, before you start complaining about your marriage and saying, how come we're not like, you know, the Hollywood, they look so happy and they're traveling the world. Well, first of all, they're not happy. You know, be thankful that your wife is not, you know, dropping a turd on your bed sheets. Like Johnny Depp. I mean, that's something to be grateful for. You should look at your wife and say, thank you for never doing that. Because there's people in this world that do that. Why? Because it's a facade. It's not a real happy marriage. And wives, you can thank your husband too, you know. Folks, there's people in this world that are struggling with stuff like that. It's not like they can't even think about having a happy marriage. They're struggling thinking about, can I have clean sheets? Can I have a sanitary bed? Can we use the $1 million toilet instead of the bed? Can you use the bidet instead of the bed? So, you know, it really puts things into perspective, right? It's all a facade. Johnny Depp is not a happy person. That's why he's constantly drinking and doing recreational drugs and all these things, because he's got to, like, smoke the pain away and the smell away. It's all a facade. It's fake. Don't look at their success and think, oh, man, what a great life. No, that's a horrible life.
Right.
Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. I'm not going to say it. A stalled ox. I'm not going to say it. I know what you're thinking, Marcos. And hatred therewith. Although that would apply a stalled turd and hatred therewith, yes. It's true. Look at Psalm 73. Asaph here complaining a little bit. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. I wash my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Listen to this, verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So he's complaining about all these things, and he's just like, but then I went to church, and I heard about the turd, and I'm like, you know, I got it pretty good at home. And I heard about all the problems that these Hollywood elites have. Yeah, I may not have a bidet, but at least my wife and my spouse use the actual restroom when needed. I understood their end. I understood that this is not something that I should envy or fret about, because in actuality, it's all a facade. It's fake. They don't really know love. They don't really know commitment. They don't really know the love of God. Folks, not only do we have the opportunity of having great marriages and godly children, we get to have God. We get to have the Bible. We get to have communion with the creator of the universe. We get to have the peace of God that passeth understanding. We get to have joy. We get to have all these wonderful virtues that God allows us as his people to have. I mean, there's so much that we get to be grateful for. And so don't envy or fret about the wicked of this world, even if they seem to succeed. Even if they beat us, even if they win against us, they tap us dry, they shame us before the world, they embarrass us, it's okay because we understand their end. And so those are the 10 reasons why the wicked prosper. And it doesn't mean we can't prosper. This is just kind of like a public service announcement to remind us all the wicked will prosper in this world. Don't freak out when they do. These are the reasons why. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us as your people, Lord, to keep a right biblical mindset. And I know myself personally, I do fret. And I struggle sometimes with the prosperity of the wicked. And why is it that good things happen to bad people? And I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to renew my mind daily and to recognize the principles that we discussed this morning. Help us as your people to have faith in the Word of God, to believe the Bible, and to recognize that at the end of the day, it shall go well with them that fear God. We love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Song number 212 as our last song, Oh Happy Day. Song number 212 there in your hymnals. Song number 212. Singing on that first verse. Oh happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sin away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to the sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. To watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis on the great transactions done, I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long, divided heart, fixed on this blissful center rest. Nor evermore, my Lord, depart. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. Wonderful singing. You are dismissed.